Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 87 of Internet Marketing. It's a news and tools. I'm sorry for the laughter, but we've just done our own vocal a cappella version of the intro music. Which
it was a little bit jazz inspired as well.
Yes.
No, that's not the right word.
You're a great scat singer actually, Kelvin.
Yeah, we won't take that one any further.
Seven quick items, two of them involving Twitter. Should we crack on?
Let's go for it.
First on the list?
First one is a change that Twitter are making to the way that they deal with shortened URLs. So over the last sort of 2-3 years or so, whenever we talked about Twitter, we talked about the various means of shortening your URL. So if you're putting a link in Twitter, you've only got 140 characters. If your URL is 180, you ain't going to get it in a tweet. So the way that we most of the time recommend is either using Bitly, because that gives some nice tracking, or we've also mentioned StumbleUpon's one, which is su.pr.
I like that one.
And Andy likes that one as well. So they're both quite interesting tools, both got some good analytics. Well, Twitter are going to start shortening even those URLs that have been shortened to their own URL.
So let me get this right. So when I have shortened my URL with su.pr, yep. something, it's going to shorten that?
Yes, to Twitter's version, which is t.co.
Why am I feeling worried?
Well, part of the reason that Twitter are doing this is to kind of avoid phishing attacks and all these kind of things. And, you know, that's not the real reason they're doing it. The real reason they're doing it is because then, rather than you going to Bitly and giving Bitly, I don't know what it is, £20 a month to get their premium version and get all the analytics, I'm pretty sure that Twitter are going to bring out their own one. And there's no huge surprise. Lots of people are thinking that that's going to be the likelihood. There are some downsides to this, that suddenly then every link that you put in, if Twitter goes down, isn't going to work.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all these kinds of like, do we really trust Twitter? But on the other side, it wouldn't have been that. If you think if Twitter had been planned to turn out the way it would, you would have thought that this was a feature that always would have been in there.
Yeah, sure.
So it's no huge surprise that they're doing this. But a lot of people are kind of a little bit reticent. But actually, I'm quite optimistic because I think that then there'll probably be kind of a standardized analytics they'll bring out. They'll probably do a bit of a free version for everyone, and then you'll be able to pay and get more data off the back of that. So I think that's the reason why. But worth noting that all your URLs are going to start coming out as t.co ones in the future.
So moving on, Mr. Kelvin, new version of Dig on the horizon, or is it here already?
Well, it's here, and it's been a bit of a palaver, and you know, talks of rollbacks, talks of not rolling back. Basically, it's a complete change to their system behind it. And it's so Dig, if you've not come across it, used to be like the big news in social media, where it was a voting site where you would submit your content to the voting site, and people would then be able to vote on it, and that would send you hundreds of thousands of visitors. Mm-hmm. It's died a bit, partially because sites
Digger's
like
died.
Well, dying. It's not quite the exciting side.
Yeah. Digger's dipped.
Yes, with two P's. but yeah, so basically part of that, I think, is to do with the fact that now people are sharing content in different ways. Mm. So rather than voting for something on Dig to try and share it with people you like, you're actually either putting it on your Facebook profile, putting it on your Twitter profile, putting it on friend feed, or whatever it is, you know, these various ways that we're sharing content now that we probably didn't used to do. So Dig have changed it around a bit, mixed up their algorithm, and changed their design. And the general impression is that I get from the active Dig users is that they hate it.
Oh.
And they don't like the way the algorithm's working. They don't like the way that content's being automatically submitted from certain sites like Reddit, and general dissatisfaction to that. But interesting site to keep an eye on, mainly because I think it's always interesting when a site has got to make big changes because for whatever reason they've been left a bit behind, but they have a very active community already there that are in some ways resistant to the change. So the way that Kevin Rose, the founder of Digg, is dealing with this is quite interesting, because what do you do when you've got a website that doesn't really work in the way you want it to anymore, doesn't do what you want it to do? You need to make changes, but you've got this community of thousands and thousands of users who like it the way it is. So an interesting one to kind of keep an eye on to see what people are up for there. And if you've not been to Digg for 6 months or so, go have a visit, because it's changed quite a lot.
So that's who Kevin Rose is.
Yes.
I had a very embarrassing moment on another podcast that I do called Social Media White Noise, where I read a blog post out by some guy called Kevin Rose. Yeah. And my co-presenter, Nick Butler, said, "Andy, do you know who Kevin Rose is?" He's the Digg guy.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, he, in the world of, the kind of founders, and, he hangs out with Tim Ferriss and people like that. He's kind of, reasonably. He's kind of a big deal, as they would say, an Anchorman, so.
Sorry if you're listening. I do apologise. I had a very sheltered upbringing. Okay, so that's Digg. Sphinn.
Yeah.
How do you spell Sphinn?
Yes, it's Sphinn. Interesting as well, because it's also a voting site. And Sphinn came about from the people behind Search Engine Land. So Danny Sullivan, people behind SMX conferences as well, decided, well, Digg doesn't like internet marketing content or SEO content. Let's form our own little version of Digg where we only share internet marketing news. Now, it's been around for 2 or 3 years, started off very, very well. I was a very, very active user of it, but have slowly started to stop using it. And I'm not the only person who slowly started to stop using it. So what they've done is they've made a few changes. It started off that they were saying, okay, well, suddenly our editors can push things to the homepage if they want. So normally it would work that you had to get X amount of votes before you went to the homepage. They decided they wanted to put their editors in charge so they could push things straight out there, which met some resistance, but I suppose it's kind of fair enough, and apparently it was always kind of indicated might happen. They then made some posts criticising, because it didn't need that many votes to go to the homepage, or like 20 or so. There are a lot of people who had 10, 15 writers on their blog, 5 or 6 hardcore fans. Whenever they published anything, they'd email around to all of them and get them all to vote, so content that wasn't necessarily that good was always getting to the homepage, and then other pieces of content that didn't have that support weren't getting there.
Okay.
And generally usage was declining, even though traffic wasn't, as I understand it. So the site was still getting the same amount of traffic, but the usage was dropping. So they decided they wanted to do something very different. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is they're in the process of phasing out voting, which is really quite interesting, because it's a social voting site that isn't going to have voting anymore. So whether that's, I mean, I think that's an interesting story in its own right, because it's internet marketing content. So whereas before you might have wanted to submit your blog to Sphinn and then get votes on it and get to do well, now you can submit it, an editor will look at it, and then if they think it's good enough, they'll feature it.
Mm.
So rather than impressing lots of people, we've only got to impress one. So is that a little bit easier? But also that combined with the Digg is that kind of, is it the death of social voting sites to a certain degree? Digg's really struggling to deal with this new redesign at the moment. Sphinn, which is a lot smaller social voting site, has decided that it's too easy to game and people aren't using it in the way that they would like. So are social voting sites going a bit down the pan? It's an interesting one. And what do you call a social voting site that no longer allows you to vote as well?
A social non-voting site.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the site will still be quite useful, Sphinn, because the moderators know their stuff. So it'll almost be like a curated, you know, here's 5 blog posts you need to read today, rather than the 200,000 that have come through on Twitter today. So it'll be useful from that point of view, and I can see it still having some value there, but it's very much changing from a community site to more of a journalism site.
So is it more of a nomination type thing rather than voting?
Yeah,
thing? You're sending nominations to the bloke that, or woman that decides.
Yeah. And I mean, I think all of the moderators there know their stuff, so I don't think there's any kind of like cheeky naughtiness going on there, but it is going to change the dynamic of that site quite drastically.
Yeah, sure. Moving on, what's this about Google streaming search? It sounds rather intriguing.
Yeah, so I've not ever been able to replicate this yet, and I only really know a couple of people who know about it. And to be honest, when the first person came, I trust them, but when the first person came up with this, I thought it was one of those kind of pranks where, someone's tried something. But now a couple of other people are starting to see it as well. And basically what is happening is, when you go to the Google search box on google.com and you start typing in, so you type in internet marketing... Yeah. Rather than you having to hit enter before any results pop up. Google is showing them for what you've searched for. And as you extend your search query, it's refining it again. So if you put internet, it bring up the results for internet. And as you start to write marketing, it'll bring up the results for internet marketing. And as you put in podcast, it would then bring up the ones for internet marketing podcast before you've even hit enter. So that's quite interesting in a number of ways. One, because like then you're getting search results. So is that going to encourage people towards shorter terms because they can see the results that are already there? Is it going to influence people to search in certain ways because, you know, results come up quicker? It's a real drastic fundamental change in the user interface of how Google go about their search.
Have you seen this? Did you say you've seen it work?
I've seen a screencast of it. So I've not actually had it myself, and they do seem to only be really, really trialing it in very small numbers. It's not like sometimes when Google just roll it out straight away and everyone gets it straight away.
Yeah.
But it's quite a fundamental change because suddenly being number one for a head term, you know, so you say you were number one for internet marketing, you're then going to start getting traffic for people who are searching for internet marketing advice, internet marketing blog, internet marketing podcast, you know, all those subsequent terms. People might say, oh, yeah, that looks like a good result there, and show that through. So, yeah, it's a big, big change. I don't know if it'll actually ever meet the light of day that goes to everyone. But yeah, some big, interesting changes going on with how Google present their search results at the moment. Because if you bear this in mind, also, it was only a couple of months ago we got where they put the sidebar in. Yeah. And, you know, there's more and more happening on that search result. And Google were renowned when they first started out for the simplicity of their results. And it's actually getting quite complicated now. So I wonder, are we all with Google now and we always will be? Or are we with Google because they were simple, but we're now looking for a simple option? I don't know.
Time will tell. Keep an eye on this one.
Yes.
Next on the list, a to-do list tool.
Yes, yeah.
Nothing quite like a good to-do list.
Yes, well, I mean, I'm a bit of a nightmare for keeping track of all the things that I'm supposed to be doing, as Andy can attest. And this is a good tool that I've come across and been recommended to me. That it's spelt very funny, but it's to-do, but it's spelt T-E-U-X-D-E-U-X.
Hang on,
T-E-U-X. D-E-U-X, and I'll drop a link in the show notes. But I think it's meant to be to do.
Is it a French site?
No, I think it's one of those kind of, it's jerky, you pronounce it to do, but it's not spelled like to do. And basically it's an iPhone app, Android app, web app, where it's a kind of nice visual way to manage your to-do list that hopefully can make you a little bit more productive. Whole gamut of websites and the like that you can go into if you're into this production, you know, sort of self-efficiency type things, which I've never really got into.
Have you played with this?
Not a huge amount. It's recommended by a follower of mine on Twitter. When this morning I asked for recommendations for tools, had a sort of 5-10 minute look at it, and I was like, I could see myself using that, but to be honest, I will probably stick with my paper list because that's the way that I work. But for the kind of people who like digital to-do lists, it looks like an interesting one to experiment with. I mean, are you kind of more of a paper, pen and paper kind of guy, Andy? Or are you
I did try to-do-la. I can't remember what it was. Yeah. Then I tried Remember the Milk.
Yeah.
No, Ta-da List. That was it. Ta-da list. Okay. And then I tried Remember the Milk. Didn't like it very much. And then I went back to paper. Now I'm using OmniFocus.
Okay.
Which is Mac only. And it has an iPhone app as well.
Yep.
And I think it has an iPad app too. I'm still getting to grips with it. It's the best one I've seen to date. But I always have a strange relationship with to-do systems. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there's some really good podcasts and websites out there. So I'll probably drop a few links into some of those about that productivity kind of side of things. But yeah, to do look like an interesting one as well.
Back to Twitter now, and they've got a like button.
Yeah, this has been rolled out. Yeah, it's been around for a while. Basically, it used to be if you wanted people to tweet your content, you would add what was known as a tweet meme button. So tweet meme being a separate website to Twitter that would give you a button where anyone on your page could click that and then tweet out a link to your content, but also it would provide a count of how many people linked to you. Now, not surprisingly, Twitter, in their approach to bringing lots of things that third-party websites did that they now want to do themselves, have produced their own button. I don't like it as much as the Tweet Me one, but it's official, and there is one real added benefit to it, that once someone clicks your button to tweet your blog post, tweet your website, tweet your link or whatever it is, they then hit publish. They then get redirected to a little window that says, would you like to follow? And that can be your account there. So hopefully, if their big sell there is that if you use theirs rather than tweet meme, you can increase your number of people following you, because there probably are people who tweet your content who don't follow your account. And this can be a good way to kind of follow that through.
It sounds just like it's a retweet button. Is that right?
Yeah, it is just a retweet button, but it's an official retweet button.
Is it labelled like or retweet?
It's retweet.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So it's a retweet button.
Yes, right. It's a retweet button rather than a like button there. But yeah, it's essentially doing the same thing, which is sharing your content to a social network site.
Okay.
And yeah, the final one really is just an event that we've not got a finalised date for that me and Andy are going to be involved in. Basically with a chap called Chris Lake, who does a very good podcast called Run Marketing. Now, what we were...
Chris Lake or Chris Lee?
Chris Lee. Why am I saying Chris Lake?
Chris
Lake is, sorry, another Twitter follower of mine. Chris Lee, sorry.
Chris Lee, okay.
Of Run Marketing. And he's a podcaster as well. We were talking to him. I think you did an interview with him, didn't you, Andy?
He interviewed me on his show.
Yeah.
Briefly, yes.
Yeah. And we were talking about the fact that podcasting doesn't really get the social media press that it should do, because we think it's a really powerful way of communicating with people and a really interesting way to promote a business. So we're working on an event with Chris that we'll give you more details of when we've got dates finalized and that. But kind of an event for podcasters and people interested in podcasting to meet up. It's going to be in London, and we're going to try and get some people together who are interested in podcasting, because there doesn't, like, particularly in the SEO community, there's all these regular meetups where people get together, you know, learn about what other people are doing and then have a bit of a network after. And there doesn't seem to be that in the world of podcasting that I've really come across. And we're going to try and do something a bit like that, aren't we, Andy? I think that's the plan.
We are. That is the plan.
So, yeah, we'll include some more details. But we just want to give people some advanced warning. So if you are in the UK, I know we've got listeners all over the world, so apologies to you guys, but we are going to try and arrange this event in the UK to meet up for people interested in podcasting.
If you want an excuse to get over to the UK, this might be it
to come and visit and say hello to us. But yeah, so we'll let you know more about that. It's going to be a free event somewhere in London, so it's not like a big conference. It's more of an informal gathering of people interested in the art, the craft, the science, the skills, the magic of making podcasts,
the magic that is podcasting. Okay, excellent, fantastic.
Brilliant.
So that's a wrap for episode 87. So it's goodbye from me, Andy White,
and goodbye from me, Calvin Newman,
and we'll see you next week. Have a good one. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.